When you're living life up on the surface, how do you know when it's time to go for a dive?
From KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters.
I can only spend so much time as a bipedal mammal, right? I want to be so supported, to live in this really constant world of darkness, and it's just a different place. It's a different reality. And it's right here, it's right in our town. People drive over the bridge every day, and it's right there.
Can you describe the mammalian dive response?
Yeah, so the mammalian dive response, to me, I call it the flip. Right, like holding a breath and sealing up everything and feeling all the nerves in my face innervated with water. And there's a certain level of relaxation and a certain level of calmness that I feel. And then it happens. All of a sudden, I'm cruising down a rock wall in the darkness, and I just feel so good. I just feel calm and compact. I can feel my heartbeat, but it's slow. Watching the rock wall kind of move past and looking at things. And I feel for those couple minutes that I could just stay down there for an unlimited amount of time, really. And I don't want it to stop. I can go for hours at diving back and forth. I mean, to the point where I know I'm going to have a headache the rest of the day from CO2 buildup, but it's just worth it. It's worth it to have those moments, to have those hours of going down and spending time under 50 or 60 feet of water. Oh, I see what the whales have. I see, and I wish it was mine.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about
a wish for a fish,
the podcast about
the unknown.
Well, right now I'm about to put my face in the water and purge the CO2 out of my lungs. Because really, the limiting factor psychologically, the urge to breathe comes from the buildup of CO2 more than lack of oxygen. And then when I feel fully relaxed, I'll do a duck dive and push my legs up out of the water, and that drives my body down. And then I try to coast down into the water. So.
Thank you.
Merc. You know, there's different types, right? There's different types of Merc. But Merc, when there's no reference, when I'm just out in a free, open water, that's hard. I don't know when I'm gonna find the bottom or when I'm gonna find something. So that's when the heart really is pounding, and that excitement, that anxiety of what's gonna happen and will I be able to deal with it at that moment. Even floaters in my actual eyeball become something. Did I see something? Am I going? Am I still down? Am I up? Which way am I swimming? And sometimes I'll let a bubble out just and watch it to reference that I'm actually still going down. In the murk, a lot of times the sun isn't even obvious. So the Columbia, it drains a lot of the Northwest and comes through all these wheat fields, and it has such a load of dust and silt. And at the beginning of the summer, it has a lot more brown to it. But now, towards late summer, early fall, it's the clearest it's going to be, and it's super green. Yeah, it's like green and blue and darker and darker, and the light goes down to about 45 or 50 feet. It's kind of like through stained glass green. That's how it feels. It's just a magical green emerald world of rocks and the current and the grass and the moss and everything growing around it up at the shallower waters.
Good timing. My dive response just has clicked in. I was so relaxed and I just was sinking, and there's some massive boulders and I went around the bottom of them and I found a weight, a little lead, which is not many of them around here. So here it is. You can have that as a memory of the day.
Thanks. Can you describe what it looks like?
Yeah, I think it's an old one. It's a piece of lead about 4.5 inches long. It's probably about 7 ounces, 8 ounces, and it's an old fishing weight. I don't know. It's narrow and long with holes at both ends. So.
What colors are these?
So that's what's interesting, and that's why it's so fun to find lead, is because underneath there's everything so green, and then lead oxide rather, is really blue and gray, and it really stands out. Like once you know how to see it, I see them a lot, which is fun. So it gives me a reason to kind of keep searching, you know, and playing under the water. And the ones that look like, I haven't found any today, but the ones that look like little pears, those sometimes I'll find them hanging on their strings like little fruit, like all in the same spot. There'll be 4 or 5 or 6, and I can just pluck them right off. It's just like this most fun thing to do. It's something interesting about that.
Feel like treasure hunting?
Yeah, it's like treasure hunting, right? It's like each one of those was a wish for a fish that went wrong, right? Somebody tied that knot and somebody put it out there, and it could have been 30 years ago, it could have been 60 years ago, it could have been yesterday.
Sigh.
sometimes I'll go down to like a rocky bottom at 40 feet and I'll just drift with the current as if I'm dead, right? My arms out and kind of in front of me and my knees relax, my thighs relax, and I'll kind of bump slowly over rocks and I'll feel my fins hitting things, but I'm hardly even moving my eyes, just looking straight ahead with a soft focus, watching the world kind of go by the window of my reality, my mask. Just absolutely dead. I can feel my heart beating, but it's beating slowly. There's something different. There's this wonderful slowness to it all. I'm more than 10 feet long when I'm on the surface. I can see my shadow and I can see my arms kind of relaxed, outstretched, and I can look how long these fins are. Watching the shadow that just goes down, 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 as like this extrusion of myself. Almost like this human form that just extends forever and forever into the darkness. That's an interesting reflection of myself as this different creature. One time I found a big fishing weight and I knew it had some string on it, but I didn't know it was a really thick line, and I was coming back up and I could see the sky and I could see the clouds and I could see the waves, and all of a sudden the string stopped me and it was a heavy line, and it was the weight was in my bag and I hadn't realized that the fishing line was still on it, and I stopped and I had been down a while and I could see the sky and I could see the air and I was so ready to breathe, and I stopped. And I couldn't swim against it. I couldn't swim against this 50-pound or 70-pound test line. And it was such a panic, because there it was, like the ceiling of this room, right there, that I couldn't have it. And I fumbled for my knife, and I grabbed the knife, and I started slashing, and I cut it. And man, that was so incredibly painful, to see the clouds and to see the sky and to see the wind and to see the waves and to be 7 or 10 feet below. Panic is losing the ability to handle what's happening. I will break anything. I will cut anything. I would cut my own arm off if I needed to, right? Like, that's the far red end of a spectrum that I don't want to go down. Panic is the biggest fear, honestly, I have. And I've passed out before. I passed out after doing 125 meters in the pool on a single breath with fins. And I came up and I was just feeling so lightheaded, I didn't even breathe. I came up and was holding onto the side of the pool, and then I passed out. It was a pretty fun feeling. Like, it was like being with nitrous oxide at the dentist. It was just like my world just kind of fell away. Like, light just became a pinpoint of, and I could kind of hear what was happening and I could see it, but I didn't really care. It was like that falling away feeling of not really caring. So in a way, I'm not really scared of dying under the water. I am scared of panic. The lungs have this communication, the way they pull in fresh coldness. But once they're shut down, it becomes tighter and tighter, and I feel like a brick. And I can feel them compress and compress and compress with the weight of the water. And then they get more and more stale and kind of hot, more red, more dark red-brown. And then I know when it's time to come up, when I feel that brown color feeling. I put my face towards the sun on the way up, and I'm cruising up and becoming more buoyant and heading towards the surface, and I can see the surface. And then I break through and I let out all that brown kind of fog of old breath, and then there's that clear blue, cold and fresh and clear air.
Archer Mayo is an artist and auctioneer living in White Salmon, Washington. He's been freediving lots of places, but he says the Columbia River is his favorite because he's always finding treasures in the murky water. To see photos of Archer doing his breathing exercises, preparing to dive, go to our website, hbmpodcast.com. Autumn is here, and we know that the weather will soon start to chill. Lucky for you, we still have sweatshirts for sale. You can find them also on our website, hbmpodcast.com/store. I'm Bethany Denton, and I produced this episode with editing help from Jeff Emptman. Music by Circling Lights and The Black Spot. Here Be Monsters is distributed by KCRW. Our senior editor there is Nick White. We get additional support for freelance contributions from KCRW's independent producer project, managed by Kristen Lepore. Thanks for listening. We'll have more episodes soon.